All right, I want to take us to Luke chapter 5 today, and we're going to read here for a little bit. And it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret, and it's speaking of Jesus, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. And this story is really impactful because really this is the calling of the first disciples, kind of Jesus' core group, which was Peter, James, and John. And they are taken from a mundane, predictable life of fishing to a incredible life of just fulfillment, and you couldn't script it. You couldn't write a movie for the lives that these disciples experienced. That they did things that were absolutely incredible. Matter of fact, they changed the world. We're here today because of not only what Jesus did, but what they did. And it all started with a few simple decisions. And we have to understand, these were simple people from a small town in northern Israel. They weren't from Jerusalem. They weren't from big cosmopolitan cities. They were from Calden and Herrick and Beecher City. They were from little towns, ordinary people doing ordinary things. But we see, starting with this one day, everything changed their life. And if I could name this little sermon today, it would be a fulfilling life. A fulfilling life. How many wants to have a fulfilling life? How many wants to have a purpose and a destiny? And one thing that I always try to pray is, God, don't ever let me miss my destiny. And these men, they had a fulfilling life, but it started with very, very ordinary circumstances. And we see that they were fishing, and they came in from fishing all night. That was their trade. They were fishermen. And they came in and they kind of parked their boats, and Jesus was teaching on the shore, and so many people had gathered around to hear what he was saying that he needed a little space between he and the crowd. And so he asked Peter if he could use his boat. And water, it acts as kind of a natural amplifier. And so he told him, he said, just go out a little bit. And the first thing that I see with Peter and these disciples, then the first step to living a fulfilling life is, number one, preparation. That they were prepared for what was about to happen. And it happens like this. In Luke chapter 5 verse 2 says that Jesus, he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. Now that might not sound very important, but we have to think about what's going on here. They had fished all night and they had caught absolutely nothing. Now I'm just going to stop here to ask a question. Does anybody else absolutely hate fishing? And I see that hand, Brother Brian Allen. Amen. Everybody just raise your fist up in rebellion against fishing. Amen. I hate fishing. Now, those of you who love to fish, God bless you. Come talk to me after church. I will delegate you to go take my kids fishing here in 5 or 6 years. I'll gladly give you that joy of operating in your gift. It is not my gift. And one of the things I hate about fishing is you're looking at that dumb bobber for like 10, 15 minutes. And it's just like, you know, you're just dying for it just to, you know, just a nibble or anything. And then maybe you reel in a little bit, you know, and you think you have something. You think, oh man, I got something big. And you bring it in and it's like weeds and sticks. Yeah, come on, does anybody else hate that? That is one of the things I hate about fishing, is the disappointment of it. When you take a whole day and you go out and you sweat and you labor in the name of fun and recreation, and it's been nothing but drudgery. All you have to show is sticks and weeds. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching this morning. Somebody feel the passion inside my heart. Well, that's kind of what they had experienced that day. You see, they fished with these big nets, and they threw these nets over, and they would bring them back, and they did that all night, and they caught absolutely nothing. And so just like fishing with lines, when you fish with nets and you catch nothing, you actually do catch something. And they probably caught a bunch of weeds, sticks, and give me some creative artistic license here, beer bottles. And that's all they're bringing in is just junk. And so when they come to shore, I love what they do though. That they didn't stay on, dwell on the negative. They clean their nets. Why? Because they know sooner or later they're going to catch something. Oh, come on, somebody. That sooner or later, they're going to come back with some fish. And if you're going to catch the fish, you can't have dirty nets. Because if God's going to give you the catch that you need, you're going to have clean nets. And I just want to encourage somebody, you need to clean your nets one more time. Sometimes we fish all night. And metaphorically speaking, we pray and we pray and we fast and we bring it in. And sometimes it feels like it just gets worse. Anybody else experience that? You pray for something and it's like, Lord, I think I'm going to stop praying because it just gets worse. Every time I cast my net, I'm expecting a catch, but all I get back are beer bottles and sticks and weeds. And here's the thing, you cannot let last night's fishing affect today's prayers. Come on, somebody. You can't put up your nets and say, well, I'm done fishing because you've gone a couple nights without catching anything. I want to tell you, if you just keep cleaning your nets and you keep going back to God, you keep asking God for a fresh start, you keep asking God to forgive, you keep asking God to help you, sooner or later, you're going to catch something. Can somebody agree with me today? And part of what we're going to do in this fast is we're going to prepare ourselves for the catch. For some of you, maybe 2017 has been horrible. As Brother Tenney says, I'm not going to stay up on New Year's Eve to welcome 2018. I'm going to make sure 2017 is gone. Maybe that's how you feel today. But I want to tell you, don't put your nets up because you've had one bad year. How many knows that God has prepared great things for us? God's prepared great things for your family. God's prepared great things for our church. And if we just keep cleaning our nets, if we just keep showing up, I wish somebody would stand with me today that believe this. If we could have some church today, I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep fishing. Why? Because God has prepared a catch that no man knows. My mind can't get around the things that God has prepared for me if I just keep being faithful and I just keep preparing myself for what He has for me. Somebody praise God today. And the reason the disciples were cleaning their nets was they couldn't get the catch that they were expecting with dirty nets. And Jesus put it like this: you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Some of you need to clean your nets. You need to say, you know what, we didn't catch anything this year. We haven't caught anything in a long time. But if I believe if we just keep showing up, if we just keep praying, and if I just keep cleaning my nets, I keep living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, and I keep doing what I know He told me to do, and if I keep throwing that net over sooner or later, I'm going to see the blessing and the glory and the presence of God in my life. Amen. And you cannot receive what God has for you if you don't prepare for it. I'm going to say it again. You cannot receive what God has for you if you don't prepare for it. You got to prepare yourself. You got to position yourself. And that's what Peter and these disciples were doing. They were positioning themselves for the big catch by something that was mundane, something that wasn't spectacular. They probably hated cleaning those nets. But they knew if we're going to catch what we are seeking, we're going to have to clean these nets. Why? Because there's a catch coming. And somebody here needs today, you need to clean your net one more time. You need to pray one more time. And you don't need to let the junk of life, how many knows that The junk of life is a lot of like bringing that net in, and it's nothing but debris. You pray, you do the right things, but the situation with your kids gets worse. The situation at work gets worse. And it's easy in those times when we fish all night and we don't catch anything to get bitter and to quit. But I want to tell you, don't you dare quit today. Don't you dare quit praying. Don't you dare quit worshiping. Why? Because there's a catch coming. And I'm not going to quit fishing because I want a couple days without catching anything. So the first thing we have to do, we have to prepare. We have to prepare ourselves for a fulfilling life. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, if we don't stop fishing, if we don't stop doing what we know God's called us to do, we're going to reap a reward. That's why we do these 21-day fasts every year. Why? Because we're going to prepare ourselves for what God has for this year. We're going to prepare ourselves what God has for us. The second thing that I see that Peter did here to position himself for a fulfilling life is that he was available. Verse 3, it says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And you see, Jesus was just kind of walking along, and he gathered these followers that were listening to him talk, and he realized the crowd was getting bigger, and he saw a couple of boats, and one of them was Peter's. And he just asked him probably a simple question. Hey, man, can I use your boat? Now, Peter, if I've been fishing all night and I haven't caught anything, and Jesus asked me, can I use your boat? That means I have to get back in the boat. I want to go to bed. I don't care what Jesus has going on. I just want to go to bed. I'm discouraged. And I just want to go home and I want to rest because I got another fishing adventure later that night. But I notice what Peter did. He wasn't like most of us. He made himself available. And with one simple request being fulfilled of letting Jesus use his boat radically changed his life. That Jesus, he wasn't asking Peter in this moment to preach the sermon at the day of Pentecost, which is one of the greatest sermons you'll ever read. He wasn't asking him to lay hands on the sick and have them recover. He wasn't asking him to move mountains with his faith. The only thing Jesus needed in that moment was a boat. And Peter said, yes, you can use my boat. And here's what I want to tell us today is that God doesn't need ability. All he needs is availability. God does not need ability. He needs your availability. He'll take care of the rest if you just let him in your boat. And that's what I want to encourage somebody today. You just need to let God in your boat. You could say, Lord, I don't have much to offer. Lord, I'm just a simple person, but you can use my boat. You can use my hands. You can use my feet. You can use my money. You can use anything I have to offer. God, I am available to you. And when you do that, it will change your life. It will take you on a journey where only God knows he's going to lead you. You see, before God could use Peter on the day of Pentecost, he just needed a boat first. He just needed someone that said, I'm available, you can use my boat. How many people that day were able to hear the word of God because Peter said, yes, Lord, you can use my boat. And, you know, we're in the Christmas season. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was available. In case you don't know, it wasn't a thrilling thing for an angel to come and tell you you're pregnant with the Son of God. That wasn't something necessarily to be celebrated because you know why? It was a tremendous burden, responsibility, especially when there's no apparent father around and the whispering campaign that would go on against her. But I love what she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. In other words, I'm available. I don't know why you've chosen me. I don't know why I've been chosen and highly favored to do this, but let it be according to your word. And God is just looking for a few people today that will make themselves available. that will say, I will do whatever you want me to do. Our salvation today is possible because Mary made herself available. And often great revivals start where simple people just make themselves available to God. How do we make ourselves available? We make ourselves available with our time. We make ourselves available with our talents. We make ourselves available with our family. We make ourselves available with our money. And availability is being willing to adjust our own plans and agenda to schedule the desires of God in my life. Is that what Peter did? Is he said, you know what? I'm going to make myself available even though I'm tired, even though I fished all night and I'm discouraged. I'm going to make myself available and I'll get into the boat with Jesus. Why? Because there's something bigger than my schedule that's going on here. And I want to tell you, our time here is short. Our window of opportunity, students, in your life, it's very short. And you need to start making yourself available right now. We need to make ourselves available in this upcoming year. We need to make ourselves available in our families. Why? Because God can do things with simple people who are just available. There's a song that says, Lord, you can use anything. You can use me. Well, I want to tell you, if God can use anything, he can use you. If God can use a boat, he can use you. And I want to tell you, you and I, we are the boats that he's looking for. He's looking for some platform that he can use to broadcast his message. And it's you and I, and we have to be available. Does anybody want to be available to the Lord today? God's wanting to birth something through us. But he won't force himself on anybody. He won't force his plan in your life. Jesus wasn't just going to get in the boat and do whatever he wanted to do without Peter's permission. And you have to make yourself available. You know, we can close ourselves off. And we can say, Lord, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Lord, I'll let you have this part of my life, but I'm not going to let you have that part of my life. I want to tell you, great things happen when we make every part of our life available to God. Lord, I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do in my life. That's how you live a fulfilling life. Some of us, we need to change some things in our life. There's some parts of our life that aren't available to God. Peter did not limit his availability to his agenda and his time plan. He made himself available based on what the need of Jesus was at that time. And I want to just encourage us today that we need to make ourselves completely available. If we need someone to fast an extra day, I want to be available. God, I want to be available. Whatever ministry in this church that needs help, I want to be available. Anybody with me today? Great things happen when we make ourselves available. The third thing that I see here for fulfilling life is obedience. Luke chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And what Jesus asked Peter to do, he said, I want you to move a little bit offshore, and I want you to go into the deep. And if you do that and you let down your nets, there's going to be a great catch. In other words, Peter, I want you to stretch yourself just a little bit today. I know you fished all night. I know you're tired. But just believe me, if you go out into the deep, there's a great catch out there. And I love Peter's response. He said, Master, we've toiled all night. We've wasted a whole night of fishing and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll go. In other words, a simple faith that, you know what, I think this is ridiculous. I think, should I even say, this is stupid. But I'm going to do it, Lord, because I trust you. And everything starts, our miracle starts to get in motion. Great things and fulfilling things start to happen in our life with simple obedience. And if Peter was going to get the catch, if Peter was going to experience what he wanted and to get the reward that he wanted, he was going to have to go to the deep and he was going to have to get away from the shore. And what I want to tell somebody today is that you've stayed by the shore long enough. It's safe in the shore, right? You know what? It's even safe to let Jesus in your boat and we just stay right there next to the crowd, next to the shore. And we're not stretching ourselves any further. We're not doing anything too radical. We're just staying right where it's safe in the shore. We call ourselves a Christian. We do the right things. But there comes a time in your life where Jesus taps you on the shoulder. Says, psst. Go out about 50 yards. Go a little bit deeper. And I got a surprise for you. Now, Jesus wasn't a fisherman, but he stocked the lake. Peter could have questioned, Jesus, who are you? You're a carpenter. You know nothing about fishing. I fished this lake for 20 years. If anybody knows where the fish are, what time of the day, it's me, yada, 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 right? And now what we do sometimes, Lord, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. It goes against everything in my experience. Everything I've experienced in my life says that fish are not out there that time of day, especially when we fish there all night. But there's sometimes where you just got to trust the Lord of the lake. How many knows that our God owns everything that we see? He's in control. He's sovereign. He knows the end from the beginning. And if he says to do something, you better just do it. Yeah, I love what Mary told the servants at the wedding of the Cana of Galilee when Jesus performed his first miracle. She said, just do what he tells you. And that's what I want to tell you today, is you just need to obey. If you want to see great things happen in your life, it all follows obedience. Do you want the catch? Well, you got to get offshore. Do you want what God has for you? You're going to have to go a little deeper. You're going to have to press a little bit further. You're going to have to be obedient. And some of us, we've let Jesus in our boat, but we don't let him be Lord of the boat. We don't let him tell us really where we need to go. And if you want to see the breakthroughs in your life, you want to see the great things that God has for this church, we need to be an obedient church. And if God says go, we need to go. We need to follow him. How many wants everything that God has for you today? How many wants everything that God has for this church, for your family? You know, obedience often looks ridiculous, doesn't it? Obedience often looks ridiculous. Noah looked ridiculous building a boat before it had even rained on the earth. David looked ridiculous standing in front of Goliath with a slingshot. Joshua looked ridiculous walking around a city 7 times in 7 days and then blowing a horn. Some of the greatest stories in our Bible are people who obeyed God when it looked ridiculous. Nope, Moses looked ridiculous when he raised his staff above a Red Sea. But I want to tell you, in every one of those circumstances, that there was a blessing following obedience. There was a harvest following obedience. There was victory following obedience today. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to obey the voice of the Lord. When he says go, I'm going to go. When he says stop, I'm going to stop. When he says go through the door, I'm going to go through the door. Even though it doesn't make sense to me, even though I can't make all the points align, I'm going to trust God because he knows what he's talking about. Does anybody trust Jesus today? Anybody want to obey God when it looks ridiculous? And the reason it often looks ridiculous is because we're ridiculous. You know why we're ridiculous? We think we know what God knows. But mind has not seen, nor ear heard, the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. And I want to be obedient. And some of you here today, what's keeping you from your promise, what's keeping you from the things you've been praying about is that you're still at the shore. You're still comfortable. You're still doing what you've always done, but you need to go into the deep and you need to stretch yourself a little bit further. Maybe you've never fasted before, but coming in January, you're going to fast for a few days. You might not do the whole 21 days, but I want to tell you, if you just row out a little bit deeper, God can do awesome things when we just take him at his word. How many wants to go deeper? How many wants to see greater moves of God? How many wants to see miracles, signs, and wonders? I wonder if somebody could stand with me today. Can somebody let your faith build and say, God, I'm going to prepare myself for greater things. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to take you at your word, even when it looks and feels ridiculous. Somebody needs to claim that today. And he said this. So Peter, let down your nets. See, it's not enough to go out into the deep. You got to let down your nets. You got to realize that Peter's probably dog tired at this point. He's fished all night. He's hungry. He's hangry. But I want to tell you, let down your nets. We need to let down our nets one more time. Pray for that lost son and daughter one more time. Pray for this community one more time. Pray for that financial miracle one more time. Let down your nets in 2018 and go all in and say, God, I'm going to do everything I know you've called me to do. Even though I'm tired, even though I feel like I've stretched myself beyond what I'm even capable, God, I'm going to trust you, Lord, that you know what you're talking about when you say that there's a catch. If I go under the deep and I let down my nets one more time, I'm not going to let discouragement over last night's empty catch keep me from letting down my nets. If Jesus says pray one more time, I'm going to pray one more time. If he says fast one more time, I'm going to fast one more time. As you lead me, God, I will follow. As you tell me what to do, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to let down my nets. Some of us, we've gotten discouraged and we've put our nets up. Some of us have given up on some prayers that we've prayed. Some of us have given up on some people that we've been praying for. Some of us have given up on revivals that we've wanted to see. We've given up on different things in our life. And I want to tell you, don't you dare put your net away. Let down your net and just see what God will do. Pray one more time. Believe one more time. Keep being obedient. One of the ways that we put our nets away is we stop obeying God. We stop living the life God has ordered us to live. But if we just keep being obedient, just keep pleasing God, just keep letting that net down one more time, sooner or later, there's going to be a catch. There's going to be great things happen. There's been great things happen in this church because there's been a constant team of people, an official team of people sometimes who just kept praying and kept fasting. And we've seen a harvest happen in due time, a catch happen in due time, a financial miracle happen in due time. Why? Because there's people that kept letting their nets down, kept throwing that net out there. You're never going to catch what God has for you if you put your net away. And I don't know about you, but I would rather fish for several years and catch something rather than to give up and get discouraged and bitter because I didn't catch something in the time span I wanted to catch it. But in God's due time, if I don't get discouraged, I'm going to reap a harvest in my life. I'm going to reap a harvest of souls. I'm going to reap a harvest financially. I'm going to reap a harvest in my family. I'm going to see things happen if I just keep throwing my net out there. You see, obedience is our responsibility. And the results are God's responsibility. It says in Philippians chapter 1 that he will perform it. The good work that God has started in our life, he will perform it. All I have to do is throw out the net. God will provide the fish. God will provide the blessing. God will provide the need. Pray one more time. Verse 6, it says, when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And before Peter obeyed, before he went to the deep and threw out his net, the biggest problem was they had empty nets. But when they obeyed God, the biggest problem they had was too much fish. They couldn't handle the blessing. They couldn't handle the reward. They couldn't handle what God had done. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to bless us so much that we can't eat. We don't know how to handle it. He wants to show us, and I'm not just talking financially here. I'm talking about authority. I'm talking about tasks. I'm talking about things. He wants to give us authority as a church that we don't even know how we're going to reach all the people that he's put into our lives to reach. But when we submit to his lordship, we find a way to get all the fish on the boat. His responsibility, God's responsibility, was to see that all the fish got on the boat. Peter's responsibility was to throw the net over. And God takes full responsibility for a life that is completely devoted to him. When I do what I know he's called me to do, the pressure isn't on me. The pressure is on God. And I don't know about you, but I know that my God can handle anything I throw his way. If he can carry the weight of the world on that cross, he could carry whatever prayer request I give to him. The only thing I have to do is keep throwing the net out. And sooner or later, there's going to be a catch. Somebody praise God this morning. Point number four to a fulfilling life is to accept your calling. Accept your calling. You see, this story wasn't really about fish. It was about God calling Peter into a deeper life, a more fulfilling life. Verse 8, it says, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people.' And when they had brought their nets to land, they left everything and followed him." See, what we have to realize is that when Peter saw all these fish, he wasn't thinking spiritually like you and I do, right? You know what Peter was thinking? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Guys, we are going to be eating steak and shrimp tonight. He saw money. That's what he did for a living. And then in a moment, conviction came on him, because he realized his lack of faith. And then he realized who Jesus was. And he realized, this isn't about fish. This is about God showing me something about himself. This is God showing me my purpose in life. And some of you need to find your purpose and your calling. And next month sometime, we're going to do our next growth track. You need to enroll in that. Find where you fit in the house of God. Because if you want to live a fulfilling life, you need to be doing your purpose in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Just a quick plug for that. But Peter, he went from fishing for money to fishing for people. Jesus said, from now on, you're going to be catching people. Peter, you're going to go from a mundane life where every night you go out, you throw your net overboard, and hopefully you catch a few fish so that you can live another day, can eat another day, so that you can go out in that boat and do the whole thing over and over again. And Jesus is saying, Peter, this great catch that you just had, I want you to see those fish not representing money, but you see those fish representing people, because that's the true treasure I have for you. And what Jesus is saying, Peter, bud, you and I, we're going to change the world. That sure beats fishing every day, doesn't it? That sure beats fishing just to live another day. And some of you, that's what you're doing. Metaphorically, you fish, you go to work, come home, shower, go to bed, eat breakfast, feed the kids, send the kids to school, go to work, come home, shower, go to bed. And you repeat the thing over and over again. And when you think about it, we go to work so we can keep doing the same thing over and over again. So we can maybe buy a few things. We can maybe buy a few fish. We can maybe throw our net overboard, and maybe we can bring some things home that can keep us going and keep us sustained. But that won't give you a fulfilling life. God wants to do something in your life that goes beyond going to work and coming home and feeding the kids. God's got something great for all of us. God wants us to be involved in what he's doing. And I don't know about you, but I want to change the world with what Jesus is doing in his kingdom. Does anybody want something greater for your life than just working and coming home? Does anybody here have a fire in your soul that you want to be involved in what God is doing in this hour? Come on, somebody. How many wants to see a supernatural catch? Whatever you think you're doing in life that's great, God's got something greater. See, what I love, verse 11 says, and when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. They left everything, including those fish. You see, the temptation for Peter was to sell out. Say, wow, the business is going to be doing great now. Thanks, Jesus. But if he would have done that, there would be no Day of Pentecost sermon. There would be no witnessing the greatest events that ever happened on this earth. There would be no spreading the gospel. And what we have to realize is that in heaven's bank account, Peter traded a few fish for an incredible reward in heaven, because you and I are part of that reward. I really believe that. But guess what? We get to share in the reward. We get to share in what God is doing. And the greatest experience that we can have is not to get what we want, but to know that God, and know what God has called us to do. To know that God has called me for a specific purpose, and to live out that purpose, and to live out that destiny, because that's where the eternal reward is. Peter, don't you dare stay in the fishing business for a few silly fish. Leave everything. And Peter had the sense, and the disciples had the sense to know, I'm going to leave everything because God has called me for something greater than what I'm doing. And I've told this story before, but when Danielle and I were getting married, we were talking about ministry, and she had a great career. But she told me one day, she said, I know God's got something greater for me than insurance. God's got something greater for me than what I'm doing right now. And some of you, maybe you need to have that epiphany that God has something greater for you than what you're doing right now. God has a catch for you that goes beyond the earthly manifestation, earthly riches, and earthly things. And he's got a supernatural reward for you that no man can ever promise and no person can ever fulfill. And I want to go for that today. Does anybody want to go for everything that God has for you? Can we stand on our feet right now? Here's what I want us to do. I want us to flood these altars today. And I want us to clean our nets today. Maybe some of you, you can't receive what God has for you because you're bitter about things that happened in the past, some empty catches, some empty nets. You need to clean your nets today. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask God to give you a new mindset. And I want to tell you something. You will never experience the catch that God has for you with a cynical, bad attitude. I've had to learn that in my life. I've had to deal with that in my life. If you get cynical and bitter about last night's bad fishing adventure, you're never going to go out to the deep. You're never going to experience the abundance that God has for you. You have to let go of yesterday. Come on, somebody. You have to let go of what went wrong last night. You have to let go of some prayers that maybe you thought God could have answered differently. You have to let go of those things. Clean those nets. Get some new wineskins. Get some new attitudes. Get an attitude of preparation that says, God, I'm disappointed with yesterday's experience, but I'm going to prepare myself because I know you got something for me. I know you didn't take me this far to leave me here. Come on, somebody. How many knows that God didn't bring us this far to leave us with empty nets? Then you say, God, I'm available. If you can use anything, you can use me. I'm available. God, I'm going to make my time available. I'm going to make my soul and my spirit available. I'm going to make everything about me available. And we need to obey. Some of God's been talking to you, some of you, about taking some next steps and being obedient. You need to do that. If you've been thinking about baptism, you need to be obedient to the call of Jesus to be baptized. If you've been thinking about making some deeper commitments in your life, and God's given you some dreams and some visions, and you need to follow through with those. You need to make some phone calls. You need to get on this. Come on, people. Time is short. We don't have forever. You need to be obedient. You keep praying for the catch, but you won't let God take you to the deep. We need to go deeper in our prayer life. We need to go deeper in our commitment. We need to go deeper in whatever area of our life that God's calling us to go there. And then we need to affirm our purpose. When they found Jesus at the age of 12, where'd they find him? In the Lord's house, doing the Lord's business. We get so busy throwing our nets over for natural fish that we forget there's something greater here. Some of us, we need to leave some boats and follow Jesus. Some of us need to leave some relationships and follow Jesus. Some of us need to leave some friends in those boats and say, you know what, guys, I love you, but God's got something greater for me than this fishing business. God's got something greater for me. I don't know what it is. Peter had no idea he would preach the day of Pentecost. Peter had no idea how powerfully he would be used, but it all started with just being available. You can have my boat, God. You can have my time. You can, okay, you want me to follow you? Sure. You don't know where you're going to be sleeping tonight? That's all right. I believe that God's got an adventure for me. I believe that God's got a destiny for me, and I don't want to miss it over a few fish. Does anybody here not want to miss your destiny over a few stinking fish? But I want to go after the highest calling that God has for me. I want the greatest thing that God has for me. Can we lift up our hands all over this place? God's dealing with people.